Our text today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 45-48. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, 'And my house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it robber's den." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. And they could not find anything they might do, for all the people were hanging on every word he said. Dynamic Christians worship God with others. Dynamic Christians worship God with others. We have a scene here of Jesus going into the temple and driving out what the text here says, the robbers, money exchangers, and or people selling animals for sacrifice. Now, he calls them robbers because a couple of things. Number one, they passed the rule that you could only pay what you were supposed to give to God through the temple in the temple money. So they had to exchange their money for temple money. And so because they came out with, because the money they had in the circulation had Caesar's emblem on it, and you shouldn't give that to God. And so they sort of ripped them off on the exchange rate. They made money on the exchange. And then they'd bring animals to sacrifice. There were different animals to be sacrificed for different sins. And they had sacrifices for people that had less money. If you were wealthier, you had more costly sacrifice. And if you were poor, you couldn't afford that, so you had another sacrifice. Well, none of the animals they brought to sacrifice were ever good enough. So you had to buy a temple animal. Another way of ripping the people off. That's why he calls them robbers. And it made him angry. This is not a scene that we usually think of Jesus, but him being angry. And he made a whip and he drove them out with the whip. Not the image we usually have of Jesus. But this is who Jesus is. We sometimes are selective in the views we have of Jesus. But the biblical view gives us all perspectives. And he was righteously angry because they had made the place you worship God a place of stealing from the people. And that made him angry. He said, "My house should be a house of prayer." The people couldn't worship there because of all the confusion of all the animals and the money exchangers and the haggling over prices. And they had made it a place that they robbed the people instead of being a place that the people came to worship. Now, worship was radically different for them than it is us. You had the Holy of Holies, which the priest could go in only once in a lifetime for the priest. In the Holy of Holies were the Ark of the Covenant, where the Ten Commandments were, and some other things. But there was a thick veil there. On the day of crucifixion, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, meaning we no longer had to go to a priest to go to God, symbolic of that. The temple was, depending on your estimates, about how we make the transition from what they use for measurement to us, about 190 feet long in the main portion of the temple, and 200 plus feet tall, and about 40 feet wide. So very different from here. I don't think we've got 200 feet in height here. Okay, so it was a place that was adorned at one time, Solomon's temple. Now the temple was destroyed, and then the temple was rebuilt. If you remember Ezra, they came back and rebuilt the temple. Then the Babylonians, that was the Babylonians, destroyed it. And then in AD 70, the Romans destroyed it. And at the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians, the Ark of the Covenant was lost, which, you know, writers in Hollywood made a good movie about, Raiders of the Lost Ark, trying to find the lost ark. But it's never been found since 590 or so B.C. We haven't known where the Ark of the Covenant is. And the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70, and part of one of the foundation walls is left, which is what's called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem now. But they've had no temple to offer sacrifice since A.D. 70, they being the Jewish people. So worship was very different. But we come together with others to worship God. Why? Because as Christians, we're not alone in this. There are other believers. And there's something about the dynamic of coming together with other believers to worship God. We worship Him in our prayer. You notice we had prayer. We had concerns listed for other people. We worship Him in song. We worshiped Him, actually, hopefully you worshiped Him when the children were singing. If you were, it was, some of it was funny, granted, because the kids are cute. The parents were embarrassed to death. I thought some of their not singing was hilarious because I could imagine at that age, that's what I did. But the parents were mortified because I told them this thing, they just hurt my heart and they're not singing. And that's okay. You can embarrass them when they're teenagers with the films of that. But you see, we worship God with coming together. It's New Testament promises where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in your midst. There are at least two or three of us here gathered in Christ's name, and the Holy Spirit's here. And we worship Him by praying. We worship Him by having the Word taught. You notice we're told here that Jesus taught daily in the temple, teaching God's Word. I went to a conference at Peachtree City one year on contemporary worship, and the worship leaders, and we were having a discussion. They said, we don't have enough worship. We got too much preaching. And I said, you don't have authentic worship without some preaching of God's Word or teaching of God's Word. Worship is this is called corporate worship. We come together with other believers. Hopefully you have private time of worship on a daily basis. But we come together with other believers and worship God. And by the way, that's a witness to the world around us that we come together and worship. Judy was talking about how we used to have Sunday morning and Sunday night. Most churches don't have Sunday night services anymore. We have Sunday morning. Why don't we have Sunday night services? Because we can't get the church to come back. That's why we don't have it. I did do something radical when I was a church in Valdosta that someone wanted the Sunday night service, so we started the Sunday night service back, and it worked very well. The youth came after youth, and we ran about 80 or 90 on Sunday night, and for a church that ran 250 on Sunday morning, that was pretty good. I enjoyed it because it gave me an opportunity to do some deeper Bible teaching. I did teaching more than preaching in that service. But we come together with other believers to worship an awesome God. But just as dynamic Christians worship God with others, dynamic Christians worship God in truth. Dynamic Christians worship God in truth. What do I mean by that? Well, we come to worship, hopefully, and we open our life up to God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here. Do we open our life up to that Holy Spirit? What do I mean by opening our life up? Are we honest with God, worshiping Him in truth? Part of a good worship service is prayer, is singing, is the Word taught, but opening our life up to God's Holy Spirit, His holiness. And if we do that, He's going to expose some aspects of our life that, A, some things we might ought to quit doing that we're doing, and B, some things we're not doing that we ought to be doing, He's going to expose in our life. Because when we come in the presence, and He's in our presence, of a holy God, He exposes things in our life that aren't holy. I don't know about you, but my experience with human beings walking the earth is we're not too holy. Maybe you've had a different experience. But we're not too holy. And God's Holy Spirit will illuminate into our lives sin. Sin of things we're doing we should not be doing, and sin of things we ought to be doing that we're not doing. Sin's a commission and omission. And when He exposes that, it doesn't feel too good. Because we feel what? Guilty. And the guilt doesn't feel too good, but you know what? When we confess and repent, forgiveness feels great. And when we worship God in truth, we expose our lives to him, and he reveals sin in our life. And we can confess and repent and feel great, or we can stay where we are and feel guilty. That's part of worshiping God in truth and authentic worship, exposing our life to God. Because he knows. I don't know about you, but every week I have some things that are failures and some things that are successes and some time that I reflect on the blessings God has given me. That's at the heart of worship too. A word that we overuse in our culture is awesome, but we have the privilege of worshiping an awesome God. Everything that we see and hear, he created. We take it for granted so often. The blue sky, we didn't do that. The ground we walk on, planet Earth, he created that. The stars at night and the sun in the daytime and the moon, he created all those things. Read John's Gospel, chapter 1. Everything that was created through Jesus Christ. God spoke it into being. Now, we've been arguing for about 8,000 years how it was done. I don't really care about how it was done. I just know who did it. God did it. He gives us the air we breathe. What a blessing. He gives us sunny days, and he gives us the rain. And some people fret about the rain, but without the rain and water, we wouldn't have life. It's a blessing. Now, I'm a firm believer that I would like to have a little more cool weather in South Georgia because I'm tired of bugs. I'm telling you, gnats and mosquitoes are part of the curse of the fall. Y'all laugh. You don't read about them swatting mosquitoes in the Old Testament, do you? No. Come on. That's part of the curse. One day I'm going to live north of the gnat line, or north of Macon, and I won't have to worry about blowing for gnats off of me when I'm outside. I get tickled at the Yankees. They go try to wave and all, and they say, how do you give them off? I said, just blow every once in a while and blow them away. It's like that, and they look at me like, what? I said, just try it. But you see, all this that we can take for granted so easily is a blessing from God. Knowing God loves us is a blessing from God. Knowing through Scripture and through other Christian witness, through the prophets, that God loves us and cares about us and sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin is a blessing from God. The knowledge that we can talk to God and listen to him, prayer, is a gift of God and a blessing. It's a blessing knowing God loves us and cares about us. You will never meet someone God does not love. You might have trouble with them, but God loves them. Now, he might not love what they're doing, but he loves them. Because us human beings can be really hateful to one another. But God loves us in spite of ourselves. And knowing God loves us is a blessing. And knowing he cares about us is a blessing. And knowing we can talk to him through prayer and listen to him through prayer and listen to him, as we talked about last week in scripture reading, is a blessing. And when we come together with other believers, our goal is to worship God in truth, to be honest with God, but also to celebrate with other believers how awesome God is. When I was pastoring another church in another town, I got to preach at an African-American church, and a revival service, and some of my members came, and they say, afterwards, we went out to eat, and some of my members say, "Preacher, you don't preach like that in our church." I said, "I can't." They said, "What do you mean you can't?" I said, "Because there were people that came right after work to that sanctuary and started praying and started worshiping God in song till the revival service started at 7:30. I said, "They were praying for that service 2+ hours before it started. That's why I preach like that." And they said, "Well, we could do that." I said, "Listen, that congregation," I said, "I'm lucky if people don't all show up 5 minutes late and leave 10 minutes early in our service. Now, am I fussing at people that come in late? No. Because I'd rather you be late than not come. But that's why that service was so dynamic. We had over 40 people praying for over 2 hours for that service. They'd been praying for weeks before they started those revival services. It makes a difference in worship. Because we become together in the presence of Almighty God. And He's to be the center of worship, not us. Because we come to worship God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for worship. We thank You that You love us and care about us and want the very best for us. We're humbled, Lord, by Your love and Your grace. And we're humbled by all the blessings You give us. It's in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.